Hello and welcome back, listeners, to the Dark Matter Magazine podcast. This, as always, is an audio presentation of the short fiction, interviews, and features you'll find in the issues of Dark Matter Magazine. We strive to curate the best and darkest of sci-fi and horror from both new and established voices. This podcast is no different. Listener discretion is advised. Please get comfortable for today's episode, because our heroines certainly will not be. Presenting, hashtag no filter. Written by Lewis Evans. Performed by Bridie Yurasevich. Edited and sound designed by Ali Nova. Produced by Phil McLaughlin.
It was another glorious evening in paradise. The sun hung low over the ocean, gold lining the pomegranate sky, and Zoe took more than 30 pics, sharp-edged little squares, capturing her painted toes, the sand, the surf, the sea, the sun, the sky, until she found the one she wanted. The one that would make some poor girl shivering on a train platform in Chicago practically feel a warm breeze playing around her calves. The perfect shot. Once she had it, Zoe put her thumbs to work. Hashtag paradise. Hashtag sunset. Hashtag perfect day, she wrote. Hashtags flying out in machine gun succession. And then the obligatory hashtag Luxo Resort. And as always, she finished with her signature, hashtag no filter. Some of the other girls like to write little stories, bad puns, or commentary in their hashtags. But Zoe kept it simple. That was her attitude, her whole essence. Simple, fun, chill. Never fake, but never depressing either. Her life was amazing, and she just felt it was her privilege and her duty to share it with her followers. Yes, of course she enjoyed the views, the likes, but it was really all about her fans. Zoe hit share, and the image raced from her phone to her 1.2 million followers. It was stunning when you thought about it, how the flash of her thumb across the screen could reach out from this cozy little island and touch over a million people around the world. Zoe didn't usually think about it, though. It was just a natural constant, like the sun, the sea, the sand, and the other girls. Nat, Zoe's roommate, came splashing out of the surf towards her, sopping but grinning. She brandished her phone, which was in some sort of waterproof case, with a fisheye lens setup goggling from the phone's camera. I got the fish, she shouted. Oh yeah? Zoe smiled. Nat had been after those fish for days. Nat jogged up to Zoe's chair and bent over to show her the phone screen. Zoe propped herself up on her elbows as Nat flipped through the shots. They really were gorgeous fish. They were a deep, burnt orange with cobalt slashes running along their flanks. And though they were no bigger than Zoe's pinky, and Zoe was a tiny woman, Nat had captured them close up and in perfect focus. One of the fish even had its mouth open like a smooch in a few of the shots. That's awesome, babe. Secretly, Zoe felt that Nat probably tried too hard. What was the point of buying fancy cameras and splashing about and trying to convince a fish to pose for you when you could just take, you know, selfies and sunsets? And it didn't seem to have done her any good. Nat had barely 500,000 followers, the second fewest of all six of the girls at the resort. But Zoe supposed everyone who was internet famous had their own little niche. And that was all there was to it. There, said Nat, that one. Zoe nodded. Personally, it wasn't the one she would have chosen. One of the fish filling half the screen, the other coyly flipping its tail out of the frame. But it made sense for Nat. Now let's see about the filter, Nat said. You're not going to use that stupid resort filter, are you? Luxo had designed a custom filter just for the six of them. And while it was pretty classy, Zoe had drawn the line. She lived a no-filter life. Cameron, the contest coordinator, was always wheedling her to include it in a shot or two, but she held firm. Of course, Nat used all sorts of crazy filters all the time, which was fine, so he supposed. Only some people had principles. No, duh, said Nat. I just got this cool new filter set that a follower sent me. I'm gonna try it out. She fiddled with the settings and then swiped the first filter onto the screen. The picture now showed a pair of gray minnows, a little out of focus, in a dim, greenish-gray sea. Well, obviously not that one, said Zoe decisively. She was no nature photography expert, but nobody on the internet would like that. It was so ordinary. No, said Nat, sounding puzzled. It's not supposed to look like that. Swipe, and the minnows disappeared, replaced with a pair of plastic fish, traffic cone orange, floating in a dingy bathtub. Not like that either, Nat said, her voice moving from puzzled to angry. I tried it already on some online photos, and it's nothing like that at all. Just really clear picture quality. Swipe again, and two fish skeletons sat on a paper plate, lying on the sidewalk. Swipe, and lines of green text sketched out vague fish-like outlines. Swipe in. Oh my God, Zoe said, throwing a hand up to cover her eyes and turning away. What is that? Beside her, she heard the sound of Nat gagging, but the other woman didn't turn away. Maybe a brain? Nat whispered. But then why are all those wires and the color? Jesus, Nat, put it away. Yeah, okay. Zoe peeked, and Nat had the phone off, down by her side. She was staring off at the perfect sun and frowning. What the hell was that? Nat murmured. The next day, Zoe was lying in a hammock strung between two palm trees a five-minute walk from the cabana, trying to decide between a face selfie and one that showed her from navel to upper lip, but cut off her eyes. Honestly, both were amazing, but Zoe had to choose. Too many selfies in a row just came across as needy. She had just gone for the second selfie. She liked its air of mystery, the perfect hint of pout in her laid-back smile, when Nat came jogging up. Nat was dressed down in a white tank top and shorts. Cameron could probably chide her for that at lunch. The resort preferred when the girls wore bikinis. But Nat had an odd look on her face, halfway between spaced out and intent, if that makes any sense. And Zoe figured clothes were the last thing on her roommate's mind. Do you know, Nat said, not even bothering to greet Zoe. You can't delete the app off your phone? Sure you can, Zoe said. You just hold down the icon. No, I know, said Nat. But you can't delete that one app. She pressed her thumb down on the familiar image, and sure enough, it began to jiggle vulnerably, and the delete button appeared at the corner. But when Nat clicked it, the app just beeped and returned to its normal happy state. Huh? Said Zoe. It was weird. Not that it mattered, she'd never abandoned her loyal fans. Besides, it was practically her job at this point. That doesn't freak you out? Nat's stressed out voice broke into Zoe's reverie. Zoe shrugged. It's just some weird phone thing, you know? Why get worked up? Nat snorted, stared off into the distance. How did you get here? She asked abruptly. I won the contest, we all did. Zoe smiled, a little puzzled. Usually Nat seemed super smart, but sometimes she'd ask the dumbest questions. No, like, physically. Was it a plane, a boat, or... A plane, I guess. Zoe hadn't thought about it in a while. She cast her mind backwards and found only a friendly blankness. Yeah, probably a plane. And how long have we been here? A week? Yeah, I think so. Zoe was even less sure than that. But then... Vacation was always like that, wasn't it? Yeah, said Nat. I thought so too. But then I scrolled back through my pics and, well, the dates all say 3 days ago, 4 days ago, but yeah, there's too many. There's way too many. I counted nearly 100 of mine before the scroll stopped working. And this guy said, she cut off abruptly. One of the resort rules was that contest winners could have no public romantic partners, which nobody had needed to tell Zoe. She knew what that did to her follows and likes. Ooh, Zoe said, what guy? The one who sent the filters, he said, never mind. Nat stalked off. Zoe frowned at her departing back, then finished tagging up her torso selfie and posted it. Nat wasn't there at lunch. Barry beat acai bowls, hashtag clean eating. Then at dinner, kale and avocado salad, hashtag Whole30. Cameron asked if she'd taken anything good today, a none too subtle way to let her know that she hadn't been posting, and he'd noticed. Nat grumbled her way through it and bolted for the room she shared with Zoe before she could even get a good pick of dessert. When Zoe made it back, Nat was already in bed, the covers pulled over her head, utterly silent. When Zoe woke the next morning, Nat was nowhere to be seen, which was just fine with her, really. What was the point of spoiling another perfect day in paradise? Zoe took a handful of quick pre-beach selfies and a few more with her surfboard. She didn't bother to actually surf, but that was just her little secret. All in all, it was a very productive morning. The posts went out and the hearts came flooding in. And by the time lunch came and went for the five girls, sans Nat, Zoe was feeling very satisfied with herself. But all that ended as Nat stumbled into the cabana. Nat was a mess. She was dripping wet, which was ordinary enough, but also covered in sand. Weird, gray, coarse stuff. Not the blonde powder of the beach. And when she pulled her bangs out of her face, Zoe saw that her forearms had been scraped so badly that they were still dripping blood. Oh my God, said Gabby. Jade let out a tiny shriek. What happened to you? Zoe shouted. I lost my phone, said Nat. Her voice was flat and exhausted. I was getting a picture of an anemone and a wave hit and it got knocked out of my hands and her voice cut out and she threw herself onto one of the chairs in frustration. Anyway, I spent the whole afternoon looking for it under the rocks and in the sand and everything, but I just couldn't find it. And I never back up anything up to the cloud, and now it's all gone. Sympathetic heads nodded around the wicker table. This generation of web celebrities had learned the lessons from hacked nudes of its predecessors. Nobody in a million years would back up their pics to a cloud, and nobody brought external hard drives on vacay. Let me get you another one, said Gabby. She'd done some sort of product placement deal with Apple a few years back, and she could practically make it rain iPhones. No, it's fine, said Nat. I can take care of it. It'll just be weeks, probably, before it gets here, and good news, said Cameron, swooping into the cabana. He smiled, and his teeth were as perfect as his hair. His button-down was absolutely spotless. I found your phone, Nat. He swept it triumphantly out of his pocket and presented it to her. It was out of the waterproof case she must have been using, but it was definitely Nat's phone. It was the right model, the same standard black Nat loved. It had the dent in the corner and the faded sticker reading hashtag fearless on its back. Nat took the phone from Cameron with an expression of pure shock. But how? She spluttered. Cameron just smiled. Thank you, she finally got out. And then dinner arrived, and everyone's attention turned to other matters. Food. And photos of food. Roasted sprouts, baked yams, and poached eggs sparkled under the flashing lights as Cameron looked on proprietarily. And then dessert. Haagen-Dazs sponsored sundae, dusted in gold flakes. The girls took their dessert picks, followed by a spoonful or two, and then dumped the better part of the Sundays in the trash, except for Beth, whose metabolism was incredible, and headed off to bed. Later that night, while Nat took what Zoe hoped was a relaxing bath in their crazy, oversized bathroom jacuzzi, Zoe stood in front of the wall-to-wall mirror. She'd finished pulling a half a dozen hairs from her upper lip, popped in a sugar-free breath mint, and was getting ready to take a few mirror selfies first. It felt a little cheap, but a bathroom shot in dim light with a careful pout was always a hit, and Zoe could use a win. She hadn't posted anything popular all day. She could take one quickly, tag it, hashtag nightbabies, and go to bed feeling better. She took a couple quick pics, deleted them in frustration, rearranged the angle, and turned around so that there was flattering backlighting. She was just about to start snapping again when Nat wordlessly climbed out of the tub, wrapped an old t-shirt around her hair, and made her way over to the sink. Zoe sighed and put her phone down on the counter. No point in taking pics if Nat was wandering through the shot naked. And given how touchy Nat had been lately, Zoe didn't want to ask her to move. Nat stood in front of the sink and washed her face in silence, scrubbing furiously. It was no good for her skin, but Zoe didn't want to say anything. Instead, she came up beside Nat and began her own evening routine. She popped off her lashes, cleaned off her eyeliner and foundation with a series of wipes, and then patted down her face with a microfiber cloth. And all the while, Nat didn't speak, didn't even look at her or smile. And eventually it was so awkward that Zoe just had to say something. "Sure was lucky that Cameron found your phone, huh?" Zoe asked, pointing at the phone itself where Nat had left it hanging over the edge of the bathroom countertop. Nat turned and stared at Zoe. Her face was a total puzzle. "Listen," she said, pointing at the countertop. "This is not my fucking phone."
"But..."
"I know it isn't, because I didn't lose my phone in the ocean. I smashed it with a fucking rock."
"You what?"
"I smashed it with a fucking rock on another fucking rock. And then I dumped all the pieces in the sea. And then fucking Cameron showed up with this goddamn phone instead."
"It looks just like yours," said Zoe.
In her experience, things usually looked like what they were.
"That's what they want me to think. They did something to it."
"Well, let me take a look at it," Zoe said reasonably. "No, don't." But Zoe had already snatched it from the counter. Her fingers twinkled through Nat's remembered password, and the device obligingly unlocked. Her thumb unerringly found the app, and Nat's pics flashed instantly onto the screen.
"See, it's got your account too.
Give it back," Nat lashed out, but she was a mess, practically shaking. And honestly, Zoe didn't feel like it was a good idea to hand it back to her in that condition. She held it tight, and Nat was grappling with it. And Zoe grabbed on with her other hand, her fingers sliding across the screen, the phone twisting between them. Flash! And the telltale sound of a simulated shutter. Nat staggered back. Her breathing was ragged. "What the fuck did you do?"
"Don't worry, I didn't post it," said Zoe, staring down at the phone.
It was just a perfectly normal picture of Nat's torso, a little blurred with the phone's motion. Impossible to imagine posting something that hideously uncomposed, but it was fine.
"See?" She held it up to Nat.
And that's when Zoe saw her roommate. From the collarbone up, Nat was still perfectly normal. But below that, from the edge of the pic downward, Nat had changed. Everything was still the right shape. Nat still had a chest and arms, fingers, but her skin was all gone. There were muscles, raw and wet like uncooked chicken, and there were wires and cables, like out of one of those ads for faster internet. And there were pistons and gears like the insides of a sports car, and little specks of light and dust flickered and rippled across the surface. And everything was attached wrong, and everything was moving. And Nat's blood and
bile and oil were oozing and leaking and dripping onto the floor. And somewhere in that mess, Nat's lungs heaved and burst of goo splattered out and landed on Zoe's cheek. Zoe turned, set down the phone, grabbed the sink with both hands, and vomited efficiently into it. Fortunately, she hadn't eaten much for dinner. She had a few more dry heaves. In her peripheral vision, Nat's hand, 5 surgical needles, scrabbled the phone away. There was the sound of metal scratching on glass. And when Zoe rose from the sink again, Nat was staring at her, furious. Total human. Totally normal. "Don't fucking do that," Nat said. What? But Nat didn't answer. Just shoved the bathroom door open, grabbed it before it could slam, and stalked out. Later, in bed, trying to make sense of it, Zoe spoke to the ceiling. "I think that mint wasn't edible," she said. "'Cause I don't know what you saw, but it was a little freaky for me." Nat's voice was tired, ragged. "There's no fucking weed on this goddamn island, Zoe. Go the fuck to sleep." The next morning at breakfast, Nat still looked a little wrung out. But she was once again utterly normal. No paranoid ravings, no horrible metal guts. Cameron brought out omelets and served them to each girl, and when he got to Nat, he paused. "Hey, Tasha," he said, "are we gonna have any more problems today?" "Nope," she said, hunching over the egg whites. "'Cause, you know, I don't like to be a bother about this, but as part of the terms of your stay, you're required to post at least..." "I know, we're good." Nat vanished after lunch, though Zoe saw her once or twice pacing atop the cliff from which Jade always did her most spectacular diving, with her selfie stick mounted GoPro in hand. And if Nat didn't seem to be taking many pictures, at least she was on her phone. That had to be a good sign, right? And then it was dinner, followed by dessert. Hashtag treat yourself. Nat smiled and laughed as they made their way to the room. And it was practically like old times until the door closed. "Listen," said Nat, her voice suddenly harsh, her movements urgent and a little crazed as she locked the door behind her and whipped out her phone. "I'm getting the fuck out of here, okay? I'm just..."
"Nat, wait, listen. I don't know when Cameron will show up, but I'm betting that he will. I tried deleting the app, and I tried smashing the phone, and I tried the factory reset, but nothing worked, right? But then that follower, the guy I mentioned, he sent me some custom app, and it's supposed to purge your phone, and I'm gonna fucking do it, okay, Zoe? I need you to..." She broke off at the same instant Zoe found her voice. "Nat, what the hell is going on?" Nat hyperventilated for a second, then took a deep breath. "I don't know," she said. "Except none of this. Something's wrong here. It can't be real. I think the filters, I think they show us what's real. But then I can't understand why it's all different. And never mind. I want you to have this, okay? In case something happens to me, just don't let it go." She slipped a piece of paper into Zoe's hand and without thinking, Zoe pocketed it, staring at Nat's face for any sign of sanity or craziness. She wasn't looking at Zoe anymore. She unlocked her phone, and Zoe could see the icon of a new app on the screen, red and angry. "As soon as I tap this," Nat said, and her thumb stabbed down onto the screen. At that exact instant, there was a gentle knock at the door. "Oh, fuck," said Nat, and she shot into the bathroom.
"Tasha, Zoe, it's me,"
came Cameron's voice.
"Are you decent?"
he sang through the wood. Zoe heard the bathroom lock chute closed, and Nat's muffled voice hissed,
stolen.
One sec, Cameron. There are nipples everywhere, Zoe said. The pounding on the door got louder.
Let me in.
Cameron sounded pissed, which never happened. And Zoe hesitated, but like, what if Nat had just gone crazy and just needed some help? Zoe reached for the door, but the handle turned on its own and Cameron was standing in the doorway. Where is she, Zoe? Zoe said nothing, but her frantic glance at the bathroom gave the secret away instantaneously. Cameron crossed to the bathroom and tried the knob. No dice. He put his shoulder into it, slamming against the door frame. Once, twice, and on the third try, crack, the wood gave way, and Cameron went stumbling into the bathroom. It was empty. Completely empty. Cameron cast an angry glance around it. And then a puzzled one. And then finally, he left. Zoe spent 20 minutes of good sunset time going through that bathroom, swishing the bathtub curtain back and forth, even though she knew there was nowhere to hide, nowhere to go. Finally, confused and exhausted, she put herself to bed. In the morning, Nat's bed was empty. But someone had come in the night and fixed the bathroom door, which bore no signs of Cameron's assault. Zoe dressed perfunctorily, white tank, gray shorts, and made her way to breakfast. Nobody asked about Nat. Halfway through the meal, which was serve-your-own yogurt, no Cameron served omelets, Zoe heard the crunch of footsteps up the sandy hill. She turned. Cameron was standing there, his arm around the shoulder of another girl. She was slender, brown-skinned, dark-haired. She looked kind of, but not too much, like Nat. "This is Gia, everyone," Cameron said. He smiled, every tooth perfect. "This is your new roommate, Zoe." Zoe introduced herself to Gia and asked a few questions about her, the sort of pics she took, how many followers she had, but her heart wasn't in it, nor was it in any of her selfies that day. She was still all spun around. She couldn't make heads or tails of what Nat had said, or how she'd disappeared. That night, she lay down in bed, and she slid her hands into her pajama pockets and found the paper Nat had passed her the night before. She pulled the slip out and read it by the light of the tropical moon that poured through her window. Address on back. Use the filter. You'll see. It was signed, at Nat Attack. Zoe flipped the paper over. It looked like a web address, but not any normal web address. Just a bizarre string of numbers and letters. Zoe held the paper in her hands, weighed it. She could tell Cameron about it, gave him the paper, and the whole thing would go away. And then, carefully, one character at a time, she typed the address into her phone and hit enter. It loaded instantly, and the progress bar zipped across the screen. The internet here was fast. And sure enough, when Zoe opened her app, there was a new filter there. Zoe nodded, rolled over, and claimed whatever beauty sleep was left in the night. The next day, Zoe thought about Nat. She thought about Nat as she showered, and as she exfoliated, and as she brushed her teeth and plucked her brows, her lip, her chin. She thought about Nat as she watched Gia perform the same ritual silently and efficiently beside her. Zoe thought about Nat and about Cameron, the hotel, the island, the contest, the girls. Gia was a beautiful girl, and she seemed like she'd be a good roommate. She wasn't Nat, though. Zoe thought about Nat all through breakfast, what she'd done right, what she'd done wrong. And so she spent her beautiful day in paradise, just as she spent all of them. She took pic after pic, every one of them no filter. And she made them count. And then, at dinner, she looked at all the other girls sitting around the table, each of them so beautiful, so flawless. And Zoe smiled. "I'm just so excited to have Gia with us," she said. "Let's get a first night here selfie." The other girls cheered, and they packed in around Zoe. Each turned to her own magic angle. Zoe slid her phone from her pocket, and she turned the filter on. And then she lifted the phone and held it up before all of them and pressed the button. The screen flashed, and Zoe stared into it. Hair perfect, teeth just right, waiting for the glare to clear, waiting to see.
Listeners, thank you so much for spending your time with us. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review through the podcatcher of your choice. We'll be featuring reviews right here in the outro going forward to thank you for your time and effort. If you're craving more dark sci-fi and horror, please visit us at darkmattermagazine.shop. This podcast has been a production of Dark Matter Audio Lab, produced by Ali Nova, and executive produced by Rob Carroll and Phil McLaughlin.